God, let freedom ring. Glory to God. I'm praying, God, fill these empty seats with people who want to be free. Hallelujah. People that will celebrate their freedom. People that will live and express that freedom in their life. The Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say freedom. I don't know what's going to happen at your house on the 4th of July, but I know what's going to happen in his house on the 1st of July. Can you say amen? I'm here to celebrate my freedom. I'm one of those people that God has set free. And the Bible said if you are one of those people, you need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be no more entangled in the yoke of bondage. Can you say amen? Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus talked to people that were under a religious yoke of bondage. It's that context when he said, he that is labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest for your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's freedom today. Amen. And there's so much bondage in God's house and in God's people. Can you say, of all people? And so the Lord is saying, I will visit those even in a prison who really want to be free and will receive it. Hallelujah. If you're content to live bound, he can't do anything for you. But if you really want to be free, the Son will set you free. Can you say amen? For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stand fast in the glorious liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Everybody say free. Free. Jesus went into the temple. He picked up at 30. He didn't go in there until he was 30 years old. There's a gap in his life. Before he began his public ministry, it lasted for 3 years before he went to the cross. Jesus didn't work any miracles. He didn't preach the gospel for all of that time. In fact, if you want to know what he did, the Bible is very clear. You can read a lot into it, but the Bible doesn't say it. I don't read it into it. You say, man, I do not speculate beyond what the Bible says. At 12 years old, he wandered off from his parents on a trip to town. He was a carpenter's son, not literally, but this was his family. Mary, he took Mary, a carpenter. He was born of a virgin. He was God incarnate. He was Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh, according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Joseph wasn't his earthly daddy, but he was the father in that family that he was going to grow up in. And he wandered off at 12 years old. He walked into the temple and he began to speak some things, and they marveled at his wisdom. And his parents came looking for him, and they found him, and they said, where you been? We've worried. You know how it is when you lose a kid in the mall or somewhere. Can you? You're worried sick. His parents are worried sick, and you, really they didn't need to worry about it. But you know what I'm saying? If there's any kid you don't need to worry about, it's this 12-year-old. Amen. Who was God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. What if somebody abducts him, honey? You can't. This was God incarnate. This was not just some kid that needed his parents to defend him. Amen. But this is the wonderful thing. Amen. That this mighty God in flesh that had all this knowledge already. He didn't have to learn it. He came here with it. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. And he went home. The Bible said he went home. And here's something we need to get across to our kid. He went home, and this was God Almighty. He went home and was subject unto them. You say, did Jesus take out the trash? I did. I don't know about your kids, but I did. Can you say amen? Did Jesus help his dad in carpentry work? He was so subject unto them. When he began to work his miracles publicly in his hometown, no one would believe on him. Even though there were miracles being wrought, people being healed, they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Don't we know his mom and his daddy according to the scriptures? Amen. They just couldn't believe that this kid, hallelujah, was who he really was. Praise God. Amen. It took the resurrection to truly, not even the miracles were enough, but the resurrection confirmed him that he is the Son of the living God. Can you say amen? Not just the son of Joseph. So Jesus waited till he was 30 years old to begin his public ministry. He walked into the temple, and you had to be 30 to read from the Holy Scriptures. You had to be 30. So he waited till he was 30. No one would have given him credibility or any attention. And at 30 years of age, he walked into the temple. He read from a prophecy concerning himself in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. He picked up the book and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me." Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
Say it again. Freedom.
Freedom.
By the way, this message that he preached was a jubilee message. Say jubilee message.
Jubilee.
Do not associate jubilee with jubilant. Jubilant is the result of jubilee. But just being joyful is not what the message was. Joy for the sake of joy. It was joy for the sake of freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
If you're free here today, you're going to have joy. You can't help but have it. Amen. If you're not free here today, you can't possibly have joy because you don't have peace. And peace precedes joy. Can you say amen? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Christ said, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you have the joy of the Lord, you've got to be free. You can't have bondage in your life. The Bible said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled anymore in the yoke of bondage. Whatever it was in your life, in your past, that used to bind you, amen, God doesn't want you getting involved in that anymore. And if Christians would just stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made them free, that yoke of bondage would never be put back on them. Can you say amen? I'll guarantee you there would be people in church this morning if they didn't have a yoke of bondage on them. Something is binding them. Can you say amen? And Jesus came to break that yoke. Amen. The Bible said the anointing will do what to the yoke? It'll break the yoke. And Jesus said, it's my anointing. Even as the Father sent me. Hallelujah. How did the Father send him? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Even as my Father sent me, he said, so send I you. Praise God. Is there a Holy Ghost anointing today? Amen. For you and for me. Yes, there is. Is there a Holy Ghost anointing on the Word of God? Yes, there is. Praise God. Is there anointing that is present here with us to break every yoke? Yes, there is. Praise God. We should celebrate our freedom, but first we should obtain that freedom in Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been a pastor for this church for 38 and a half years, our total history. We're smaller than we've ever been, but God is doing more than he's ever done through us. Now that is an incredible thing, that the gospel is going to nations all over the world. What you're hearing is going to nations. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why we're getting prayer requests from halfway around the world in Asia. God is moving. Leviticus 25 describes the 50th year as Jubilee, which means liberty, and is proclaimed with the sound of a trumpet. It began on the Day of Atonement so that all would know this holy period had begun. God owns the land, and in this special time period, he wants the return of every man to his possession. Men who have worked as servants to pay off their debt, a bond slave, must be freed and allowed to return to their own land and their families. I'm going to read something to you out of Leviticus 25, 8 through 10, and then 35 through 41. We're going to jump from 10 to 35. Listen carefully. "And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7th Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee unto you. Everybody say freedom. Liberty unto you. Praise God. If you're a bond slave, you don't have to work out that debt anymore. You get to go back to your land. You get to go back to your family. You get to go back and possess your possessions. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. And if one of your brethren becomes poor, that has been set free. You've been set free. One of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you. Then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. And take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury or interest, nor lend him your food at a profit. And get me started on the people selling stuff for profit. Personal gain. To help you. Amen. It's all to help you. But they gain from it. You can figure out who I'm talking about pretty quick. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. And if one of your brethren who dwells becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. As a hired servant and a sojourner shall be with you. And you shall shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possession of his fathers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus said, behold, this is a Jubilee message that Jesus came to bring. But it's a different kind of Jubilee. It's a different kind of liberty. Everything he said, his whole anointing was one to set people free. I'm taken back at the bondage in God's people. In God's house, that I have seen down through all of these years, Christians who the Son has set free and declared them to be free and living in bondage and choosing that bondage over this freedom because they did not stand fast. The devil will come back and see if he can pull you back into bondage. And you've got to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Can you say, man, I don't know what you do, but I plead the blood of Jesus. When I'm overwhelmed by something, I feel bound by something. Jesus did something for me at the cross to set me free. And I plead the blood of Jesus. Can you say, man, the Bible said now in Revelation chapter 12 is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even to the death. Can you say, man? If you stay devoted to Jesus, if you hold your testimony, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. That's not in the context of getting a Mercedes or getting a 6-bedroom home with 5 bathrooms. It's in the context of your salvation. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Can you say, man? And hold fast your profession of faith, because he's faithful that gave you the promise. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free. Amazing, those men in prison just got set free. And there are people in church that aren't. They got to serve time. But these people that go anywhere they want don't want to come to church. That's bondage. That means the devil has a hook in their jaw, a hook in their mouth. They've lost their hunger for God. We're going through a purging, but I welcome it because we could not go on as we were. Amen. And I even considered, amen, resigning from pastoring. I've got a ministry online. I can go to prisons and preach to people who want to be free. I can go to churches and preach to people that may be hungry for the message and hungry for God. I don't have to pastor to be a minister. I wouldn't be a quitter if I resigned pastoring. You know why? Because I've done it for almost 40 years. You're not a quitter if you do it for 40 years. But I would be a quitter if I did it because I was discouraged, even if I did it for 50 years. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't want to ever do anything because I'm discouraged. I said, Lord, fill these seats with people that are hungry. Fill these seats with people that want the gospel of Jesus Christ. You had a vision of people standing in line, amen, to get in this little room to find a seat. Well, the day that that comes, we'll kick that end out and build that way. Praise God. And this little room can become a big room quite quickly. Hallelujah. The water runs that way. We'll build this way. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is gracious. I believe God's going to do something. He is purging us. He is purging us. But He's replacing people with hungry people. People have come recently that are hungry for God. Hallelujah. That want the gospel. That want to be free. That want to live in this freedom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be no more entangled in the yoke of bondage. The anointing breaks every yoke. Can you say amen? So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, He picked up and read the prophecy of Himself from Isaiah 61. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor, not just the poor financially, but spiritually impoverished. Sin will wreck your life. There's a song that said, don't let the devil ride with you. Because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive your car. And if you let him drive your car, he'll drive too far. Can you say amen? That the Bible said, give no place, no ground to the devil. Stand fast. If God sets you free from alcohol, don't ever take another drink. If God sets you free from nicotine, don't ever pick up another cancer stick or coffin nail. If God sets you free from sexual lust, don't ever pick up another dirty magazine. Can you stand fast? If God brought you out of this world and showed you His kingdom, don't ever look to the world for satisfaction and fulfillment. Can you say amen? Stand fast, because when you were free, amen, none of these things could bind you and pull you back. Hallelujah! I want to preach to people who want to be free, and people that are free that want to stand fast. Hallelujah. Amen. And hold fast to their profession of faith. God is faithful to honor His word and keep you free. Some of you have been saved for years and years, and this is nothing new to you. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe there's a person in this room that don't need freedom, more freedom somewhere in your life. I don't believe there's any exceptions in this room. I don't believe no one's exempt from this message. The worst thing I hear, what I never want to hear, so don't ever tell me, and I won't ever stare at you, amen, with that blank stare. Don't ever tell me, He really told them Sunday. Told them who? So you've excluded yourself. You must be on a high plane. Can you say, man, you must be living a perfect life. Can you say, man, I don't believe you are. And I believe if you think you are, that is your sin. That's one of your sins. Number one, you're not. But number two, if you think you are, it's sin. For when a man says, behold, I stand. Is it that sinner down there repenting that's in jeopardy? No, it's the man who says, I don't need that. I've arrived. Can't have a revival for people that have arrived. You've got to have revival among hungry people that want to go somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate freedom July the 4th here in America. Amen. But right now in the Church of Jesus Christ, we don't wait for no 4th of July. This is our year of Jubilee. Every year that you walk with Jesus is a year of Jubilee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 It's hard to preach to people that have all the gospel they want, all they need, and are satisfied right where you are. Because nothing's going to excite you. You you're going to look around and see what other people do this morning. Amen. This ain't about other people, old hoss. This is about you and God. Hallelujah. And right now, it's about you and me. Can you say amen? Because if you're trying to impress me, you're going to fall way short. You need to show me some worship. You need to show me some joy. You need to show me some hunger. Can you say amen? I'm not interested in the rest of the junk that we call testimony. I'm interested in hungry hearts that are seeking after the living God. Can you say amen? I didn't come here to play church. That's why you're here. You played church at other places. Amen. But your soul got lean and your soul got weak. Can you say amen? But every time you come in here, you're challenged to change. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you don't want to change, you're in the wrong place. And there are people who don't want to change. But you can't receive the word of God and not be changed. If this seed falls into a good ground heart, it will bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Don't look at the people that are falling. We're going through a purging. We're going through a purging. We're going to lose some folk and we can't afford it because we're too little as we are. But listen, if we lose them and they recognize their backslid and they come back and front slide. Listen, if you can backslide, you can front slide. You can slide either way. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. I believe in front sliding. I believe that people realize where they are and get sick and tired of being sick and tired and start getting hungry for their freedom again. Can you say amen? There was a time that black people in America decided, I'm hungry to be free. I'm in a nation that's built on liberty and freedom and I'm not experiencing it. And it was in my lifetime that there was a movement. Because people wanted to be free. They put their life on the line. Patrick Henry said in his patriotism and his love for his nation, give me liberty or give me death. I won't live enslaved. I'm not a black man today, but my sins were black. It has nothing to do with the black color. It has everything to do with the enemy wrapping me in bondage. But every time I hear that song, free at last, free at last. Great God Almighty, I'm free at last. I don't think of the freedom movement in the 60s. I think of the day Jesus saved me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I haven't got over it. I don't want to get over it. Amen. I want to celebrate it, and I want to stand fast in the liberty. I went through nervous exhaustion, and if you don't know what that is, it's a near nervous breakdown. That's what I was diagnosed with. They told me every organ in my body was stressed and over. Thank you, Lord. Purging is a wonderful thing. Sometimes it eliminates distractions and problems. And that may not be the issue here. He may come back. He may have an upset stomach. But the devil just, he don't want this message coming over. Because this is a revival message. And we need to be revived here today. Can you say amen? We need God's word to be honored. God's house to be honored. God's servant to be honored. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's book is a holy Bible. This is not, amen, this is not the waiting room in a doctor's office. This is God's house. This is God's day. This is God's word. This is God's purpose here. Praise God. And if we empty this house, amen, and have God's blessing, he'll fill it back up with hungry people. Whatever it takes, Lord, we want a revival. Praise God. Whatever it takes, we want a revival. I got the option. I got the option. I can resign pastoring and go ahead and preach. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discouraged in the Lord. Amen. I'm highly encouraged in Jesus and in answered prayer. Honey, it's people. It's people. It's people that's holding it back. If people would just stand fast in the liberty, we'd be free to worship, free to serve God, free from the yoke of bondage that holds us back. And I believe there's people, and some of them may be in this room today, that want to be free and want to live free. I take secular songs and apply them to me. There's a song about being born free, about that lion. Remember the lion that they domesticated and then set free? And you know, and born free. Every time I hear that, I think of when Jesus saved me. I take secular songs and just Christianize them. Amen. I was driving on the Beeline Expressway to go and preach in a service in Merritt Island. I couldn't find a Christian station. All the Christian stations faded away out on that Beeline, cutting across the state of Florida to the other coast. I got out on a long stretch of road and couldn't find any Christian music. So I found an oldies channel. And they played one of the songs from my era. And when the night is come, the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't shed one tear, just as long as you stand by me. Now, he, in that secular rendering of that song, you picture his main squeeze. Well, honey, I'm going to tell you, if it's that bad, your main squeeze may not be as much comfort as you think they can. Amen? Amen. He based that song on Psalm 46:1, I found out. It was originally to be sung for the Lord. It was originally about God and not about some lady in his life. Amen. Listen, if it's as bad as it was, it said in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said no matter how bad the shaking gets, if mountains are crumbling, we'll still be standing if he stands with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I got to grooving on that song, and I turned it, and I didn't even know the history of it, but I got home and looked it up. But I said, I'm going to take this back for Jesus, and I'm going to sing it before the Lord. Amen. And I sung way off key, but it was from my heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And Jesus was honored. Amen. On that Beeline Expressway. And my faith was rising up. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there's something. God has given you the freedom to worship him in spirit and truth. Not just in church on Sunday, but wherever you are. Praise God. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always making melody in your heart to the Lord. That means the choir don't just sing to the people, and the people don't just sing with the choir. The people and the choir sing to the Lord, and the singing don't stop when Sunday is over. The melody goes on. God's given me a heart song, and freedom is the anthem that I sing. Amen. Jesus is the person in my heart song, but freedom is the anthem that I sing. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can you say amen? Glory to God. What a mighty God that we serve. What a mighty, matchless God that we serve. The Liberty Bell. Have you heard of the Liberty Bell? It was cast in 1752 A.D. That's when they rang out. On July the 8th, the celebration began. July the 4th marked the freedom. But on July the 8th, 1776, the bell rang out, summoning people to hear the reading of America's Declaration of Independence. Wow. What a day that was. This nation that had to fight to be free now could claim liberty and freedom. And they were proclaiming a jubilee. We're free! Free from the tyranny of kings and countries. And we can worship God and we can pursue whatever God has for us here. We're in a land that's free. Unfortunately, the United States had not obeyed God's jubilee law. It's widely believed the bell cracked in 1835 while being rung. The crack, which occurred roughly 50 years after America's War of Independence ended in 1783, was severe enough. The crack was severe enough that the bell could never ring again. You can go see the Liberty Bell. you can't hear it ring like they heard it ring before it cracked while ringing. I'm going to submit to you there's a crack in our liberty. Something has happened in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. Can you say, man, something tragic and something terrible? Because there are people sitting in churches that are as bound as people in the world. It's just another type of bondage. You might call it by another name, but it all comes under one overarching heading. They are bound. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I love the love in the gospel. Doug is our minister of media, and he has his title online is Doulos. 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 When Paul introduced himself in his letters, he would say, the Apostle Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ. A slave is what that word meant. And in particular, a bond slave. Someone who's working out a debt for someone else. Doulos. So servant is not even strong enough to say what we should be to Jesus. And I don't mean slave in the sense of bondage, but he set us free to serve him. Everybody say, he set us free to serve him. See, some of those bond slaves that didn't have family or even did have family and brought them with them, when they worked for a good master, told his master, don't you treat him like a slave, like some animal that works in your field. Treat him like one of your choice servants. Treat him well and pay him well. Be good to him. Don't use this authority that his debt has created to lord over him. Treat him as a friend, a good servant. Treat him well. You know what they would do? If they had a good master, when the year of Jubilee come along, they could walk out of there and go anywhere they wanted. You know what they would do? They would make a one-time, lifetime commitment. They would say, there's nobody I could work for better than this man. Nobody would treat me as kind and good and pay me as well as this man. You know what he would do? He'd take a little nail. He would take a mallet, a maul. He would go to the doorpost of that house. On the year of Jubilee. That nail, he's already grimacing. That's why he has no ring in his nose or navel. I haven't seen his navel, but I guarantee you there's no navel. Just talking about something going through your skin. Amen. He put his ear. We won't even go there where people pierce themselves. But anyway, this was a one-time dedication. He put his ear up next to the doorpost, and he nailed that little nail through it. It's in your Bible. Yeah, you ain't got no, I see you have no things either on you. All right. So he nailed it to the post. He pulled it back out, and you know what it meant? It meant, I don't want to leave this master. God sets you free to serve him. He didn't set you free to go your own way and be entangled in the yoke of bondage again. He sets you free to serve him. That's why he brought them out of Egypt. He didn't just bring them out so they could be free to do whatever they wanted to do. He brought them out of Egypt for this purpose, that they may worship me and serve me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He set us free to serve. And a lot of people are using their freedom as an occasion to just do anything they want to do. But they don't want to serve God, so he doesn't have their heart. And guess who is hunting for their heart? The enemy and the world. And they end up back in the yoke of bondage. And worse. The Bible said their last state is worse than the first. And it'd been better they never known the way of righteousness than to know it and turn from it. Because before they did things out of ignorance. But now in the bright light of revelation, they're choosing darkness over light. And you think the devil isn't going to come in on that? You think he isn't going to do his destructive work in that family and that life and that marriage and that ministry? Ministers are falling. Marriages are disintegrating. The two people sitting in church on Sunday because that liberty has been forfeited for bondage. And we don't hear the sounds of joy. We don't hear the songs of Zion. People that once shouted or unmoved by the word or the worship of God. Bound. And if you would ask them what Jesus could do for you, they'd be glad to tell you all that Christ can do. They just aren't experiencing it anymore. That bell isn't ringing. Blessed are the people, the scripture said, who know the what? The joyful sound. You get around a church filled with joy, I'll show you some free people. Can you say, man, they're not slaves to sin anymore? When I first got saved, I mean, people got saved, then they wanted to get sanctified. Cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Can you say, man, because there was freedom in serving God. They wanted all the trappings. Man, I had a big old record collection, but those songs reminded me of my past. I'm not saying this for you. I'm saying this for me. Back in the days of vinyl, you know, you put it on 33 RPM. I had a stack of them. I grooved to those songs. Amen. Well, I got in a different groove. And I would put one of those songs in, and guess what it did? It began to pull me toward what I had come out of, what Jesus had, and I had to stand fast. And for me, I'm not saying this for everybody, but for me, amen, I got rid of the whole stack of them. Amen. Why? Because now, amen, I was set free from all of that world. Praise God. I started grooving on something else. When I heard the songs of Zion, I got my groove on. Can you say amen? When I heard the songs of Zion, the joy came up. I was standing fast in the liberty. If it pulled me back, I cut it off. I remember going down the road one day and I felt that pull of a particular weakness in my life. Brother Bimbo, what was it? None of your business. Hallelujah. None of your business. But just after becoming a Christian, something began to pull me and I felt it drawing me. And I'm not going to tell you I didn't want to give in my flesh, but I'm going to tell you in my spirit, I valued my freedom more. He set me free from that. It's pulling at me. Wants to pull me back in, but he set me free. Remember, we used to sing it. Camp meeting song. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound. My Savior to see for glory to God. He set me free. Can you say, man? Somebody say, he set me free here today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I didn't know what to do. So I just cried out. Jesus, I don't want sin. I want you. And I felt that pull break just a little. It didn't break completely. So I thought if it broke a little, it can break a lot. Jesus, I don't want sin. See, there's a will of your flesh and there's a will of your spirit. And if you start exercising the will of your spirit, you can conquer the flesh and its will. You have to reckon yourself to be dead. That means count yourself as dead. That part of me wants that, but that part of me is not the part of me that's been born again. Can you say amen? It's not worth my liberty. It's not worth the sin and the shame and going to church and can't enter into worship and feeling like something holds me. It ain't worth it. Lord, I don't understand my feelings. I shouldn't even want this, but nevertheless, I don't want this new man on the inside. I don't want sin and slavery. I want Jesus and liberty. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's called, even as a young Christian, without all the biblical principles, I was standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made me free. Hallelujah. And be no more entangled. in that he sets you free from the yoke of bondage. In the context of the scripture originally, it was the doctrine, amen, that added works to grace. But this goes beyond just the doctrine and the teaching, but to the life and the living. Can you say, man, how many people has God brought out from bondage and dabbled back in, and they find themselves back in the same yoke that he delivered them from because they don't stand fast. They don't have the heart to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ makes you free. It's about freedom. This is about liberty. This is about being able to hold your ground when the enemy wants to take ground from you. And that's why the blood of Jesus was shed, and that's why the Holy Spirit came. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? All kinds of people bound up by sin and Satan. No, there's liberty. There's liberty. But you got to want that freedom more than you want the sin. And if you truly do, Jesus will set you free from the bondage of sin. When you want it more. People have had it, took it for granted. Every nation that had freedom and took it for granted lost it. It was a very short time that they lost their freedom. Amen. Every Christian that had freedom and took it for granted lost it. But every Christian that celebrates freedom every day of their life, amen, rejoices in him who set them free, has an allegiance to him and him alone. I don't believe Alice is going to go back. I think Alice enjoys her freedom too much. Can you say, man? Oh, she just prayed God will get her. No, God already has her. Amen. She loves that situation. Can you say, man? Alice, I appreciate you today. I feel faith in your heart. Whatever you need, reach out to the Lord for it in this service. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm praying for some backsliders to front slide. Praise God. I'm praying for some people that are out there in bondage to have that yoke broken. But I'm praying not just that God do it. I'm praying there'll be a change in the heart. Because you've got to walk this. Give me liberty or give me death. I'll live free or die, but I will not live in bondage. Once somebody gets that attitude, Satan will never be able to budge. Don't let the devil ride with you. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. If you let him drive your car, he will drive too far. Sin will take you where you thought you wanted to go, but you didn't really want to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And when you want to come back, it'll refuse to turn you loose. But when you call on the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of prison that you've been locked into. Jesus will set you free. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to set the captive free. Set at liberty those that are bruised. To preach the gospel to the poor, those broken and bound by sin, to give them the good news that you can be free. Not only from sin's power, but from God's judgment, you can be free. Hallelujah. And then he said he would declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you look in the reference right by it, it'll say the year of Jubilee. Can you say, man, hallelujah, the year of liberty. Praise God. I know people right now that are bound by alcohol that hold offices in churches. I know people right now that are bound by sexual sin who stand in pulpits. I know people right now, amen, who preach to others but can't represent freedom in any sense of it. Amen. The world owns them. And the Bible speaks of those that Satan takes captive at his will. At his will. He'll give you a little slack so you can develop a testimony. He wants other people to see you fall. He wants the gospel to be looked down on. And then he'll yank it. And because people are not committed to liberty and freedom, amen, he's able to pull them right back into sin. I made up my mind, Sister Venable. I'm going to walk in the glorious liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. Praise God. I'm working on 50 years of marriage. I'm not boasting in me. I'm telling you, my wife and I love Jesus. We don't just sit in church. We serve God. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Are we free? You better believe it. Can you say amen? Out here in there sitting at her computer speaking in other tongues. You don't have to talk in tongues to glorify God, but it's just my wife's thing. We roll. This is the way we roll. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? This is the way we roll. It's so good to sit in there at my computer, hear her in at her computer, and hear her singing and praising the high praises of God. Hallelujah. That's why our marriage is going to stand the test. Oh, Brother Bumby, you're saying I stand. No, I'm not. I'm saying that he's great enough. He's big enough. He's wise enough. He's powerful enough. And our eyes are on him. And I'm not afraid to confess victory today. Can you say amen? Not in me, but in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody stand up and give him praise in this place. Just for a holy moment. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord. We praise you. 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 The Apostle Paul said, I'm a servant. I'm a doulos. He has set me free to serve. And now I'm going to commit my heart to him who set me free. I'm going to enjoy the liberty of having Jesus as my master. Hallelujah. I'm not a slave that he treats like a slave. I'm a servant that he calls his son. Hallelujah. And lets me inherit everything as an heir. Praise God. Why would I want to leave this master? Why would I want to walk out of this kingdom of peace and joy and righteousness? Can you say amen? How many know there's a crack in the liberty of God's people that God wants to seal? But he don't want to make it like the Liberty Bell. Because you can see the bell, but you can't hear it ring. I believe God wants to patch this bell up where you can't even see the crack. And then he wants to ring it. It's called the joyful sound. That takes place when there's revival and restoration among God's people. Blessed, happy to be envied of the people who know, experience firsthand the joyful sound. Can you say, man, you're just about to pout on me this morning because of what other people are doing. Honey, we're in a purging. Pray for those other people and make sure you're one of those praisers. You're one of those worshipers. You're one of those people that won't let other people distract you from lifting him up and enjoying his presence. Can you say, man, make sure you're one of those people. You're letting other people make you sad instead of letting him make you glad. How many would come if there was five of us in him? Well, most of you would. Isn't that amazing? Amen. How many would you come and worship him because he's here with the five of us? I would. Ain't going to stop me from worshiping. Everybody say one monkey don't stop no show. Come on, one monkey don't stop no show. Amen. Who's this thing all about anyway? Somebody that's not here, somebody that is here. Amen. Where two or more gather in my name. Yeah. You're waiting on somebody else. You're looking at the wrong person. Hallelujah. I pray everybody that's out will come back. But I pray that when they come back, the seats will be full and they'll have to stand in the back for a while. With who? Hungry people who want to live free. Hallelujah. Because Christ has set them free. Amen. Amen. I'm not your normal pastor. Your yesterday testimony does not impress me. I'm only interested in what's going on right here and right now in your life. Can you say amen? You say, Brother Venable, I've been in church for years. Well, I'm not interested in how long you've been in church. I'm interested in how close are you following Jesus. Testimonies ought to be recent. They ought to be white hot. They ought to be right off the griddle. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like my eggs hot. I don't like them 3 days old. I like my pancakes right hot off the griddle. Jesus likes hot stuff. Can you say amen? Yeah, he does. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. I don't know any other way to serve Him. I never learned to just play church. I didn't get it. They accused me of being a lone wolf because I never associated with pastors who only talked about numbers and buildings and stone and steeples and stained glass and budgets. You get around me, I talk about souls and harvest and God's power and Jesus. And I just never fit in. So they felt sorry for me. The poor lone wolf. Honey, I've never been alone. I've never been alone since I met Jesus. Amen. He's with me today to preach the gospel when there's so many negatives all about us to distract us. But my heart is set on that harvest field. Amen. Look at that map up there before we leave. All over that map there are pins, and now we can't even put enough pins because the gospel every week goes to nations all over the world from this little place. If other people don't want to serve God, I can't lose my vision for what the door that God has opened. Come on, I can't do it because others are going back. Come on, what do you say, church? I can't quit. Throw in the towel while God is moving to help us reach others. God is so good. I'm praying for this community that God will bring people, that they will find themselves turning in to this driveway and come in hungry and leave filled and come back full of the Holy Ghost, full of God's great salvation, full of love and devotion for this great God that we serve. Hallelujah. He loves you so much today. He loves me so much today. Communion in most churches is dead. It's a routine. It's a ritual. It's sandwiched between the announcements and the preaching somewhere. It's rushed through because it holds little or no significance anymore. It's just something you got to do. You get it on, get it done, because everybody is watching this thing on His day. His day. His day! And people resent being this long in a service all over America. It's 12:15. What are we still doing in church? His day. His day. The Lord's day. Brother Bibble, I got to get home and get into intercession. I don't think so. Brother Bibble, I got to get home. I got to get to the mall. Brother Bibble, I got to get to the beach before it rains. Brother, there's a movie coming on. When did it happen? I'm among ministers that their greatest claim to fame is how condensed they can make the message to stay within the time. And my claim to infamy is that I don't watch no clock when God's moving. Because I'm hungry, even if nobody else is, I'm hungry for the living God. I do not want business as usual with 500 people. Because business, you know what that's like? That's like taking, how many men's on a football team? 11? It's like taking 11 dead men, dragging them out on the field. Say, start the game. Amen. 11 dead men. They can't play no ball. Buccaneers are struggling. They're alive. Can you say amen? But dead men can't play no ball. Dead Christians can't have no revival either. That's why we need revival. Can you say amen? Because it's breathing life into a body that threatens to become a corpse. Amen. There's a crack in our liberty bell. You can't hear it ring from so many lives, so many homes, and so many families. But I wish I had a doorbell that sounded like a big old liberty bell. Amen. Not for me to hear inside, but so loud outside that I'd hear it on the inside. Somebody pulled up to me with a train horn. I don't know where they got it, but they ought to be whipped. That thing will scare you. You're sitting still and you hear a train coming. And you realize somebody got a horn that sounds like a train. But I'll tell you one thing. It's just like a train. There's no track or anything. But when you hear that horn, you don't stop to think about the fact there's no track. He's thinking about getting one right now. Amen. I can tell. Amen. Put on that big Dodge Ram. Pull up beside that old lady in the Buick and just... My wife drives the Buick, by the way, so I better take that back. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I wish when people got near this church, they could hear something called the joyful sound, full of hungry people saying, I'm here to celebrate the glorious liberty of the sons of God because I'm walking in it. And I will not live bound. I will not live bound. I will not live bound. Jesus gave his life so we could be free. How many people would just lift your hand before communion and say, Pastor Venable, I want to live free. I want to have this liberty. I want it. Lift your hand if you need that. You want that in the name of Jesus to take it back down. You can be seated for a moment. Would you please serve us Holy Communion this morning? And let's receive this in the light of this freedom that Jesus came to give us. He's here. And he's anointed to set the captive free. If there's any bondage in your life, Jesus is here to set you free. So many distractions today. And yet, Jesus is still the focus of this service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.